You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
The world was never as sharply divided as it is today between those who do and those who comment or follow or opine. So believe it or not, there is a website called Teslarati that calls itself the leading source for Tesla news, rumors and reviews. There are entire industries surrounding the extraordinary life of Elon Reeve Musk, a technology entrepreneur, investor and engineer, the founder, CEO and lead designer of SpaceX, co-founder, CEO and product architect of Tesla, co-founder and CEO of Neuralink and co-founder of PayPal. If you didn't already know his CV, there it was. Yes, there are industries existing because of Elon Musk that he has little or nothing to do with. For example, sites that endlessly report on his rumored feuds with the likes of American rapper Azalea Banks and on his love life. Tech magazines that review and take apart every Musk soundbite and tweet, every invention. And a news cycle that feeds on his finances, his setbacks, and his triumphs. And trivia, such as that Musk taught himself computer programming at the age of 9, dropped out of Stanford after just 2 days, is the inspiration for Tony Stark, aka Iron Man, that he owns the submarine car made famous by James Bond film The Spy Who Loved Me, that he's a big X-Men fan, and surprise, surprise, that he built rockets as a kid. To state the obvious, Elon Musk does not just make news, he is news. Be it his irreverent weed smoking during podcasts that shocked the Tesla stocks, or his attempts to make something as mundane as driving into a thing to, quote-unquote, maximize enjoyment. With the introduction of Tesla Atari, a new Easter egg that allows drivers to play classic Atari games, the man is always providing fodder to the media. And on this edition of Digging Deeper with Money Control, we will focus, as Musk himself would put it, on just some of the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad events in his life and also his surprising and uplifting vision for the future. My name is Rakesh Sharma and you're listening to Digging Deeper with Money Control, and this is the second part of our Elon Musk story.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
The world according to Elon Musk. The world according to Elon Musk.
Well, it seems to be the era of narcissistic billionaires without a control on their Twitter handle, and Elon Musk certainly seems chief among them, so a story about him would be incomplete without also addressing a few tweet storms from the man himself. He said, "I'm considering taking Tesla private at $420, funding secured." In August 2018, that tweet unleashed a storm. The claim was disputed and called false and misleading, with a large number of Tesla shareholders believing that Musk was engaging in market manipulation via the tweet and had cost them hundreds of millions of dollars. And now the ramifications have caught up with him in 2019, and Bloomberg has reported that investors in Tesla who were suing Musk are now asking to subpoena both Grimes, his former girlfriend, and also Azealia Banks to testify to his state of mind when he made that tweet, presuming that one of them was with him. Banks has stirred the pot further by claiming that she has private Instagram and text messages connected to the tweet that could get Musk in even more trouble. So what is Azealia Banks' role in this whole controversy? As it turns out, Banks had been allegedly invited to Musk's home by his then-girlfriend Claire Boucher, or musician Grimes, for a recording session, and witnessed Grimes placating her boyfriend for, and I quote, "being too stupid not to go on Twitter while on acid," unquote. The Securities and Exchange Commission, as has been reported earlier, ended up fining Musk and Tesla $20 million each over the 7th of August tweet, as well as removing Musk as chairman. And as New York Post reported, a probe suggested that Musk's relationship with Grimes had played a role in setting the price he said he would ask for Tesla. It was alleged that Musk had rounded the price up to $420 because he had recently learned about the number's significance in marijuana culture. As all of you, I'm sure, are aware, 420 is a number that is closely associated with smoking pot. We would have you know that in the latest developments, Musk's lawyer, Dean Christie, is asking the judge to dismiss the subpoenas, arguing that they're just sensationalizing the matter. Because, of course, a random tweet resulting in a multi-million dollar lawsuit is not sensational enough on its own. We would also have you know that Banks' last word on the feud is, and I quote, "This is going to get extremely ugly. I may be a lot of things, but a liar is not one of them. Elon will learn very soon who is more powerful of us two," unquote. And if you're wondering who Azealia Banks is, well, she began her career with one extraordinary song. It was called 212, and it's all about being in Manhattan, because that's the Manhattan code for phone numbers back in the day. It was an extraordinary song, although it's not for the faint-hearted, because it does contain some expletives. But beyond that, her life has been a series of controversies, and this one may just be the most high-profile one, and certainly involving the most millions yet. Regardless of the smoke and the little fires and the rap stars erupting around him and his equity, Elon Musk's plans keep rocketing into a seemingly incredible future that most of us can barely even dream about. As the Wall Street Journal reported in December 2018, Musk's rocket company, that is Space Exploration Technologies Corp, or SpaceX, is set to raise $500 million from earlier shareholders at a $30.5 billion valuation, and the Scottish money management firm, that is Baillie Gifford & Co, in a bid to help get its internet service business off the ground. This week, though, TechCrunch.com reported that though SpaceX still hasn't announced the round, it nevertheless has made things official and has filed details with the US Securities and Exchange Commission about the fundraise. Though the filing does not confirm investor Baillie Gifford's involvement, it does show that the company has secured from eight investors at least $273.2 million toward a planned $500 million round. TechCrunch also notes the involvement of longtime investor Steve Jurvetson, who has been on the board of both SpaceX and Musk's car company, that is Tesla, for 10 and 13 years, respectively. And why is that worth mentioning? We quote from TechCrunch. After Jurvetson left Draper Fisher Jurvetson, that is DFJ, the venture capital firm he co-founded, in 2017, amid questions about his personal conduct, there was uncertainty around whether he would keep those director positions. Indeed, at the time, a Tesla spokesperson told the outlet Recode that Steve Jurvetson is on a leave of absence from the SpaceX and Tesla boards pending resolution of these allegations. Jurvetson went on to form a new venture firm called Future Ventures and remains involved in SpaceX as well, even while sources suggest he is still on leave. As the piece repeats for effect, assuming SpaceX closes its newest round of funding, it will have raised $2.5 billion in equity funding altogether, according to Dow Jones Venture Source. According to the Wall Street Journal's earlier report, SpaceX's new round will be used to finance a new satellite internet service, one whose early designs suggest it could be powered by more than 4,000 satellites orbiting the Earth at low altitudes. Starlink, as Wall Street Journal said, is one of two multi-billion dollar projects at the company, the other involving plans to develop the largest rocket system ever built, the Starship, and its super heavy rocket booster. But of course, there are challenges ahead and plenty. As the Wall Street Journal put it, SpaceX's existing business faces headwinds. It expects launches of its workhorse Falcon 9 rocket will decline in 2019 and perhaps 2020. Global demand for launching commercial satellites, its core business, is stagnant, with some satellite manufacturers and customers looking to permanently exit the market segment. In the US government arena, SpaceX is just beginning to see its Pentagon and NASA business ramp up, but it will likely take several years to gain substantial revenue from these deals. Despite financial, legal, and personal challenges, Musk keeps coming up with inventions that force the news pundits to stop and catch their breath. It's a very Trump playbook, but this one at least is hoping, at least has a tangential angle to making the world a better place. Mid-December last year, thousands gathered for the first public viewing of Musk's loop track, or a path-breaking test tunnel in California, or an underground loop track that promises to revolutionize transport in the 21st century city. And as The Guardian reported, it turned out to be a grand mixture of imaginative futurism and show is razzmatazz, not to mention a showcase for a novel tunnel-boring technology that may be the most significant development of all. Quoting from the rather entertaining piece, whether the technology succeeds in increasing the speed of tunnel construction 15-fold, as Musk said he hoped it would, or heralds the beginning of a vast underground network of transport channels beneath our cityscapes is anybody's guess. Musk, for one, didn't sound completely sure. We're obviously in the early stages here, he told reporters, and he continued, this is a prototype. We are figuring things out. What's really important is that there is a path, finally, to alleviating traffic congestion in cities, unquote. As the piece goes on to say, the test tunnel, a 1.1 mile underground track that runs near the headquarters of Musk's SpaceX company in an unlovely corner of South Los Angeles, was built with relatively conventional tunnel boring technology for about $10 million. But Musk's underground construction arm, known as the Boring Company, which is anything but, has already envisioned a second and third generation technology that would simultaneously dig the hole, move the dirt out, and automatically install the reinforced concrete tunnel walls. Quoting from that piece, the idea is that one day cities will have so many underground layers of tunnel networks that a driver of an autonomous electric car could join the loop at any point and be whisked at speeds of up to 150 miles an hour to a destination programmed in advance. Musk said a station could be just a glorified parking spot with an elevator to take the driver down into the system, or something grander with double helix spiral ramps, unquote. But as is becoming obvious in Musk's case, sometimes his grand plans outstrip ground realities. So as the piece went on to suggest, Musk was rather vague about the timeline and vaguer still about the costs. True to his wayward reputation, he suggested at one point that anyone could copy the technology he was developing free of charge because all he cared about was alleviating traffic congestion. At another point, he fantasized about building infinite real estate underground on Mars. unquote. The reaction was patchy as well, since the vehicles went no faster than 40 or 50 miles an hour, and many onlookers compared the experience to an amusement park ride and an airport shuttle, rather than a clutter-breaking scientific miracle. Though, as the piece man went on to point out, several cities have expressed strong interest in Musk's vision, whether to provide a high-speed transportation link or to create a more mundane tunnel network for sewage, electricity and gas lines that could be serviced without the need to break up roads and create even more congestion. But as of now, even Musk does not have all the answers. Musk may not have all the answers, but when you're Elon Musk, you can reimagine the world and present your own version of reality regardless of what is going on around you. Catherine Clifford reported for CNBC how Musk presented his version of the world during the unveiling event of the test tunnel on the 18th of December 2018. He said that he looks at the future from the standpoint of probabilities, and he has made three predictions for the future. He believes that in 7 to 10 years, the first humans will colonize Mars. In a Twitter conversation, he has also mentioned that it will be engineers, artists, and creatives of all kinds who will go to Mars first. He also told Axios, an American news and information website, last November that there is a 70% chance that he himself will go to Mars, and also interjected a bit of patented drama when he said, and I quote, "It's gonna be hard. There's a good chance of death. Going in a little can through deep space, you might land successfully. Once you land successfully, you will be working non-stop to build the base, so not much time for leisure. And once you get there, even after all this, there's a very harsh environment, so there's a good chance you'll die there. We think you can come back, but we are not sure," unquote. If we were rude like Azealia Banks, we would ask what Musk was smoking when he constructed this sentence, but we will not. The important thing is that SpaceX hopes to get an unmanned cargo rocket to Mars in 2024. According to CNBC, and according to Musk, you will be able to connect your brain to computers in 10 years, and Musk's company Neuralink is developing ultra-high bandwidth brain-machine interfaces to connect humans and computers. Musk told Axios, and I quote, "The long-term aspiration with Neuralink would be to achieve a symbiosis with artificial intelligence, to achieve a sort of democratization of intelligence such that it is not monopolistically held in a purely digital form by governments and large corporations. That'll be done by connecting computer electrodes to neurons in your brain, a chip and a bunch of tiny wires that will be implanted in your skull," unquote. If this statement reminds you of a Black Mirror episode, you're not alone, and only the future will reveal how many of Musk's ideas will pan out, and as Musk himself says, "I believe this can be done. It's probably on the order of a decade," unquote. And Musk is not done yet. Tesla's cyberpunk pickup truck prototype is expected to be here in 2019. As always, Musk is not specific about the specifics of the truck, but he wants us to get as excited as he is, and in typical Musk speak, he went on to say, "They've got the pickup truck, which, actually, I'm personally most excited about the pickup truck," he told Swift. "It's gonna be like a really futuristic, like cyberpunk Blade Runner pickup truck. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be amazing. This will be heart-stopping. It stops my heart. It's like, oh, it's great," unquote. He also believes that robots will be able to do everything better than us in the very near future, and hopefully one of those robots will be able to teach him how to construct a sentence.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
The world according to Elon Musk. The world according to Elon Musk.
But as we mentioned right at the onset of the podcast, regardless of what is working or not working in his life, Elon Musk feeds collective imagination like few others can. And even as we try to piece together the man from various soundbites and news reports, it can be safely said that nobody knows Elon Musk as well as Elon Musk does himself. Ashley Vance made a fair attempt to get to know Musk in the book Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX and the Quest for a Fantastic Future by basing it upon nearly 30 hours of conversations with the man himself. And here is what we gleaned from that book. If you're surprised by how quickly Musk bounces back from setbacks, we should not be, because he, after all, emigrated from South Africa to Canada at age 17 to escape from an abusive father who once forced him to sit quietly for 4 hours while he talked nonstop. When Musk came to Canada as a teenager, he had no money and survived by working through random jobs and finally enrolled for undergraduate classes at Queen's University in Ontario. He survived a nightmarish childhood and was once beaten so much by bullies in school that he had to be hospitalized. We learned also what makes him the tireless thinker that he is. As a young person of no privilege, Musk once read 60 books a month, memorized 2 entire encyclopedias, and drew upon The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy to deal with life's big questions. And how, studying at the University of Pennsylvania, clarified the direction he wanted to take. From an upstart in Silicon Valley who began to create and sell companies, Musk became a one-man multi-billion dollar aspirational industry, and he continues to expand his mind and work like there is no tomorrow. We also witness via the book's gaze how success brings pitfalls, and in Musk's case, there have been enough and more, as when he has undermined colleagues and taken credit where it wasn't due. Add to these his recent indiscretions on social media and questions about the profitability of some of his truly far-fetched ideas, and we have a success story that could be in the danger of imploding. But as the book points out, and we agree, at the heart of most of what Musk does is his preoccupation with the idea of making the world a better place. As he once said famously, "The best minds of my generation are thinking about how to make people click ads. Too many smart people are pursuing internet stuff, finance and law. That is part of the reason why we haven't seen as much innovation." Unquote. Even as a teenager, Musk had a mission statement. It read, "The only thing that makes sense to do is strive for greater collective enlightenment." Ironically, the man whose tweets have given him enough reasons to regret his impulses once said, and I quote, "We wanted flying cars, instead we got 140 characters." But despite his failings, his contribution to the expansion of the scope and scale of human consciousness cannot be denied. And he did so by doing what few people do these days: ask the big questions. Questions like how to harness solar power, how to explore space, and how to understand the scope of digital banking. Rejection is not new to him, but dealing with it successfully is one of the reasons why he's where he is today, in space and perhaps even beyond. Musk, for instance, may be working with space technology and solar energy and a million other ideas, but his ultimate intention is to change the world for the better. And you just can't help but root for that.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast. And you have been listening to Money Control.